Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
I missed one weekend, and it feels like I haven't been around for a while, but it's nice to be together and back in the place where we can worship together. And Mark and Elaine, welcome. It's met you. And you're here for the very first time, hey? It's your very first time. Welcome, welcome. Some folk that I haven't seen. And Anna, all right. Wow, it's great. Rachel, we got a day together, girl. Yeah, she's working in the same wedding that I'm working on. So, yeah, it's church in the morning, wedding in the afternoon. My kids have us fairly busy doing weddings. We went to Victoria, Texas, went and did a wedding for my son's friend, and then other son's friend in Syracuse went up there, did their wedding. And so it's like a snowball, and every time they see us do a wedding, they want us to do their next wedding. And so we did one last week in North Carolina, and with Shane and Dixie, and it was just fantastic. Most beautiful venue I've ever seen. It finished with the Disney World fireworks at the end. Not bad. The miracle was the storm. There was a serious storm coming towards that. And I said, Father, they've spent thousands of dollars on this wedding. Please, can you just kind of just get in the way of the storm? And literally, it was thundering down on us, and it was going to launch on us at 6 p.m., and we were doing the ceremony at 4. And literally, as it got to the county, the storm opened up and went around us and went out to sea. And then we had nature's amazing fireworks out in the ocean. So after we had the fireworks. And so, yeah, we got back here. And then Tyler and Julia are finally getting married. And so we're doing their ceremony this afternoon. So it was rehearsal 9 a.m. yesterday morning at Green Cove Springs. And then dinner last night. And it's just because we do this family thing. When we do Coastal family stuff, we do family for real. We just don't, as a church pastor, just attend, do my thing and leave. I'm really ingrained in the kids' lives. And so it's really a privilege and a joy. And so, and the joy of my daughter, Natalie, being here, and obviously she's so busy tangled up with being bridesmaid and all that, so she can't even make the service. And so she was missing out on being here, and she lives in Aspen. It's her fault that I've got to do all these weddings, though. So, but it's a great, great privilege. And I just want to pop something in. You know, obviously, when we stepped into this year, I really felt this is a year that we needed to push our mortgage off this building and just get, we don't want to owe the bank anymore. So that's, we're really deciding to do that. We're pushing hard on that. Thanks for the applause. One hand there. Yeah. John, if you could just pop up that first slide. This is kind of our history with the building. We purchased the building in July 2015. We got the sale through there, $350,000. We went to the bank with $100,000 as a down payment. So we had a mortgage of $250,000, and we've paid to date $97,404. We're outstanding $152,000. You know what really gets me? We put $3,000 a month into paying this off, and there's a whole bunch that just goes to interest. So if you just got a spare $152,000 that you just would like to just lend us so we don't have to pay, then we can put the full $3,000 back into your pocket every month. And by the end of this year, I can guarantee you, by the time we have our next anniversary, our 17th anniversary, I want to be able to declare, here is our ownership papers of this building, so I can employ another couple. I need another couple to come on staff, and I need that mortgage payment to pay their salary. Hallelujah. When we first walked here, and there was like 20 families a week moving into this area in 04. It was crazy. They wanted something close to $1 million for this building anyway. So we got a good price. You just need a certain gentleman to come to the negotiating table with you, named Scott Cruz, and then you get your price. And I just love that. Eh? Anyway, church, it's a great joy. The church is moving forward. It's greatest and brightest days ahead of it. I'm just telling you that you're going to see things. I spoke to a gentleman that was so powerful in prayer last night at this rehearsal dinner, and he is part of Billy Graham's team, and he goes around and just launches prayer meetings with young men. He says, you cannot believe the residency of God that's in these young people that are standing up. And I just got so encouraged. I said, man, you and me meeting at this meal is a divine appointment. Encouraged me, really. And sometimes pastors need some encouraging, you know, because I tell you what, it's a pushing continually to advance the kingdom of God. You've got to advance. And the message today, I want to carry on. Obviously, our theme this week, this year, is going to be, is working in being fearless and faithful. And because we saw the enemy come in and just swamp us and the whole nation and, in fact, the whole world with just fear and just faithlessness. And so we just really needed to grab it. And our Bill Harbour says, if you've got a lack in the body of Christ, turn the hydrant of the word onto it and change it. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching into that, that we will be fearless and faithful as we advance forward. Because I tell you what, the kingdom of God is not scouring back at the circumstances that this planet is so-called incubating. We're not going to bow to it. You don't bow, you don't burn, if you know anything about the Hebrew kids in the fiery furnace that they were chucked into. You don't bow, you don't burn. And we're not bowing. We're going to stand up and say, God says, and God declares, amen. So I spoke about how to finish strong, because you can come and you cannot finish strong. There's certain things that you do not grab with both hands and your faith and walk it through. And last time I spoke about the importance of gathering as a church, and there is just a disbursement of gathering, and obviously there's real reasons why you wouldn't gather when there's an epidemic and stuff. But it's important because there's reasons, because God's presence comes when we gather. There's God's power that comes when we gather. And then God's people come together when we gather. And it's so important, because in all that dynamics, I've seen in the 44 years I've served Jesus, I have grown because of being involved. Everywhere we've been, short of 6 months, because that's a story of its own, we weren't allowed to go to any fellowship in the area. I have always been part of the gathering. And the gathering is so important. And if we want to finish strong, we need to gather. And just a side note, not only gather, but we need to assemble. Each one of you have got gifts and talents and amazing abilities that God wants to dovetail together so we can accomplish what the kingdom wants here in this region. This is our area. We are plan A. There's no plan B. So we need to step up. Amen. And I think God is, you guys are doing it. And I just really emphasized in that last time I spoke about finishing strong. We need to gather as a church. We need to gather in our small groups. And I have some points that will continue to emphasize that today. But here I want to carry on with the next part is, we cannot be soul controlled. If you want to finish strong, you cannot be soul controlled. Some of you may not understand that. I hope to unpack it. Valerie finds his pictures who knows where. But it kind of... they are soul controlled. And so I'll talk about being fair weather Christians. Fair weather Christians just will continually be controlled by their soul. And you will not finish strong if that happens, if you do not transition into what God really wants you to be. And I call it being a fair weather pilot. You're a great pilot while the weather is fine, while the light is good and there's sunshine and you can see and all your senses are about you. Everything's going fine. But if it gets dark, you start trembling. If the weather changes, you're going to become a very petrified pilot. So you're not an instrument-rated pilot. You're a soul-controlled pilot. And basically, that's what we're saying. And so to be strong and steady, faithful and fearless as Christians, we're going to have to understand how to stay strong in the storm. And you cannot be soul-controlled if you're going to run through storms. And guess what? Life has storms. Life has all sorts of health storms, financial storms, all kinds of storms will come your way. And we've got to. So what does it mean being soul control? Soul is what? When your thinking and your wants and your feeling dominate you. And you're controlled by your surroundings and your circumstances. That's what's being soul controlled. And you cannot. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your thinking, your wants, your will. And your emotions, your feeling. It's important that you understand that's how I'm wired. And I'm hoping to unpack it as we go along. And so to finish strong, you're going to have to get to understand what your mind and your will and emotions are doing to you. And it's got you by the nose and are dragging you around. And the enemy, oh man, he goes to town and works you through with your emotions. And so we got to understand that as young believers, that's why you get tossed around and tumbled by every storm and every circumstances. I call them, there's mountains and valley Christians. Man, you talk to them, man, they're on top of the world, they're on fire, and then the next thing, they can only believe that they're saved. And I don't know if the Jesus is real. I don't know what's happened. I don't know if there's sin in my life. I think, what happened to the guy I spoke to yesterday? He's like flying on top of the clouds, and now he's all. And as young believers, you go through that. And I understand that, because here you're still having your soul still in control. But as young believers, you have that. I remember as Daniel, our middle child, up in Aspen, but when he was a young little blondie, we'd just come back from America in 86. In 86, I was just horrified at how many children were missing, how many kids were stolen, how many, there were missing things everywhere, in every place you went, any eating place, you saw missing kids' pictures. And I tell you what, we are hyper and hanging on to our kids. We had them locked in, chained in, and harnessed so that, and when you shopped in your cart, you turned the whole cart around. You wouldn't even just duck out and take your eyes off your kid, because it was such a sort of like a pandemic of stolen kids. And so we go back to South Africa, back to Africa, and we go to an agricultural show, and we're walking around the agricultural show and seeing the animals, and we're going, and then suddenly one of us, the Daniel's hand slips out of our hand, and we look around, and then there's 100 blondie little kids around, and you can't find them. And suddenly all this Vietnam flashbacks, America, stolen kids, oh my gosh, where is he? And we're hunting in the first 5 minutes, first 10 minutes, first 15 minutes. We can't find him. Now we are spreading out the search. Where is Daniel? And eventually we backtracked and back to the horses, to the animals. There he was, sitting in a pile, eating the dung and sitting with the animals and thinking. And that's what happens when we bring people to Jesus. Suddenly they're kind of just, no, I'll just let go of Jesus' hand and I'll just go and do my thing and let your soul control you. Or you find yourself where you're not protected, or you're not led, and you're not provided for. Suddenly you're thinking, oh, this whole Jesus thing doesn't work. Why? Because you're in a place where. And so it's important that you understand that if you allow that the soul control door to remain open, you're going to find that the what the scriptures calls the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Oh, it'll come in. It'll come in. Eve got taken by that very same thing when she was invited to see this fruit and how nice it looked and how pleasurable it looked, and it could make me and be I could be like God. The pride, the lust of the eye and lust of the flesh and the pride of life, the soul, the fleshly appetite, suddenly was awakened, and the enemy used it. And then Jesus, after he was water baptized, he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And then guess what? The enemy pushed at his soul and said, "Hey, if you're really hungry," because he'd been fasting for 40 years, "turn these stones into bread." And it's the lust of the flesh, man. That's what I need. And the lust of the eye put him on a high steeple and says, "All these kingdoms are mine." And so he worked on all three areas. And Jesus came out not soul controlled, but he came and said, "No, it is written. It is written." So it becomes powerful. So it's important that you understand. And I tell you what, men, listen to me, men. The day you think pride, pennies, and petticoats, girls, gold, and glory don't get you, you're going to be sunk like the Titanic before it even leaves the harbor. Don't even think about it. I wake up in the morning and say, "God, I am vulnerable in this area. I have served you for 44 years, and I still am vulnerable in these areas. I will never take it for granted. I will always have my guard up in it. I will always make sure that I have my checks and balances. I have my boundaries in these places, because pride, pennies, and petticoats will get you. The enemy loves it. He knows how to seduce. Be warned. Be warned. And if you're soul controlled, he's going to come and clean your plow." So an unrenewed mind, an unrenewed soul will mislead you, and the enemy will grab you and shipwreck you. So we understand that we're a three-part being. So just to bring more understanding about this whole thing, we are a spirit. We are a spirit. Remember this order I'm giving it to you. We have a soul, and we live in a body. So I'd say this with me. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And when I die, my earth suit just drops off and goes into the ground. That's where dust to dust, ashes to ashes, that's it. But that's not the real you. This is just an earth suit so I can walk around and connect with creation. But I'm a spirit being. That same spirit you saw Jesus with his body walk straight through a wall. I'm looking forward to that day when I get my glorified body. I'm going to walk straight through the wall and say, "Boo, hello, I'm here. Hello." And so we've got to understand that we're spirit, soul, and body. And if you don't have questions about that, how about Jesus at his death? His body was in the tomb. His soul was down in Hades. And he committed his spirit to the Lord when he was on the cross. He says, Lord, in your spirit, I commit my spirit. So there was spirit, soul, and body. Oh, you think, well, maybe not then. In Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 7, it says, Adam's body was formed from the dust of the earth. God breathed into him his spirit, and man became a living soul. Both speaks of all three areas. Then Paul, talking to the church in Thessalonica, he spoke about that in chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus is coming again. You understand? There again, he puts it in the right order. Many denominations, you hear them, that you have a body and soul, and then they're not quite sure how to handle and talk about the spirit. But the spirit is important. So why did God form us in this way? Well, our spirit, he made us a spirit so we could relate to him. Because Henry, he spoke to the woman at the well, and he said to the woman at the well, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you need to understand that you are a spirit, and God did that so we could connect with him. We are a soul, so we can relate to his creation and him. It's the in-between. It's the connection between our natural world that we see and God is our soul area. And that's why we need to have it adjusted and corrected and aligned to what God is. And our body, obviously, is to relate with creation, the beautiful place that God has created for us to live in. And that's how it is. Now, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, their spirit died. That death means that it's separated from God. I'm just saying that if somebody divorces, that relationship is dead. When sin came in, the spirit had to be removed from man because of sin. Sin separated it. And in that death situation, we see that that from then on, man became soul control because he wasn't led by spirit anymore because his spirit was disconnected to God. There was a disconnect there. And so when Adam sinned, God came down in the cool of the day, like always, walking around. And what did Adam do? He says, I was afraid. That was an emotion. I was naked. Well, he realized, whoops, somehow the glory has unclothed me and I'm naked. And what did his will do? They hid. So there you see the soul became the deciding factor. Paul talks to our condition about us being before Christ. And I want to just say, a lot of people, when they're in the religious world and they don't understand being born again, they are led by their souls, their intellect, what they've been taught and stuff. So they're not led by the things of the Spirit. But this morning, it was lovely to have the musicians just be sensitive and say, we're going to just stay at that song because God wants to emphasize that he's our champion and that he's won it for us and that we have authority. He wanted us to kind of just ponder on that. And the sensitivity in the musicians leading because they're spirit-led allowed us. Because if it's soul-controlled and being myself that I am a very organized, everything in its box kind of thing, I've got to be careful about this being soul-controlled because I would say, now, come on, get it. You said had three songs. You need to sing your three songs and you need to finish it properly. That's how you need to do it. But I understand that I have to allow Holy Spirit to be Holy Spirit. So now Paul's talking to the Ephesian church and he says, once you were dead because of your disobedience. And we all understood that when we were in our sin and your many sins. And verse 2, it says, and you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. You understand, while you're living in this whole turmoil of carnality and soul control, the enemy's in there and paddling your boat for you. And you don't even know that. The commander of the power of the unseen world. See, that there's in the spirit world, you've got the demonic. And it's hard for us Westerners, especially here in America, to understand that. Go and hang around Africa and in the Asians, and you see the demonic world, very real things that happen in the things of the spirit. And it says here, and he is the spirit that at work in the hearts of those that refuse to obey God. So if you refuse to obey God and say, listen, I'm gonna do a Frank Sinatra, I'm going to do it my way. If you want to do that, then guess what? Then he's going to get in there and be used, and the enemy will use you. I'm just say that you're going to be like a white rat in a science lab with him. He is going to play like a fiddle. That's why I want to have my feet firmly in God. So I understand, man, The enemy is taunting me. The enemy is pressing my buttons. And I understand that because of understanding my spirit, soul, and body. And it says here, and all of us used to live that way. Now, because we're born again, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature, being soul-controlled. Talking about this in you guys, we were like that. But now we are not, because we are controlled and led by our spirit. Being soul-controlled, dead in your spirit, is a man outside of God. And so to be born again. So some people, they have all the knowledge. They can quote scripture and everything else. But until you invite Jesus into your life and allow your spirit to be born again and reconnect, you're dead to God. You're separated because you haven't invited him in. You haven't responded to the RSVP, the invitation of allowing Jesus into your life. And when he does, your spirit comes alive and you have this connection, and your spirit becomes the dimension that leads you as a person. And so to being soul controlled. Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. We all have our own thoughts and our own plans. Man, I can do this. I can do this God thing. I can tell you now that the power of sin on your life, you cannot break without Jesus coming on board. So I'll shake this habit. I'll stop this and I'll stop that. No. Have you ever tried to take all the lemons off a lemon tree and say, now I've got rid of all the fruit? It's okay. Guess what? When it's time to bear fruit, what's going to bear? It's going to bear lemons again. You can pluck the fruit until the cows come home. It's still going to bear lemons. That's what happens with us. Until you change the root, there ain't going to be no change to the fruit. And that's what happens when Jesus comes in. He changes the root and he works from the inside out. I may be still a yuck for a little while longer, but slowly God will get to me sorting my fruit out. You may find an odd lemon pop it out now and again, but then suddenly God will start working in it. But it's because of our mind and our will and our emotions. And Jesus said, man, my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfied life. So he said, man, these guys can't get out the hole. There's no chance of you getting out the hole unless I come and die for you and make a way so my spirit can enter you. And when my spirit enters you, and you can be born again. And your born again spirit can overcome a sin controlled life. Are you learning anything today? Are you reminded of anything today? Sometimes they say, well, I've heard this. Yeah, it's good that you be reminded. Not only reminded, that you go and tell somebody else about it. Amen. Hallelujah. So Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I want to be that child that is led by the Spirit. Not my soul. My soul will only lead me one way. And so once as a believer, your spirit is born again. And I call it my gut. My gut kind of is my dictator. Everybody says, how do you know? I said, man, when I make a decision and I feel uncomfortable in my gut area, I think, man, I made a wrong turn here somewhere. And I back out. And sometimes when I make a decision, I just got this peace inside my gut. So being soul controlled, having your mind and stuff is so powerful. You've got to understand the soul is so powerful. And it will just want to grab you. And remember, feelings is part of your whole soul thing. And feelings are neither right nor wrong. You're going to wake up and feel all yuck in the morning or down in the morning. Feelings are nothing except what you do with them. Feelings are neither right nor wrong. I wake up and I'm happy. Great. What am I going to do with it? Wake up sad or miserable or angry. What am I going to do with it? That's what happens, is the byproduct. What will your will do with that feeling? And that's what's important. It's not your feeling. Feelings are neither right nor wrong. You wake up and you feel all sad or mad or whatever. It's okay. God's not quivering on the throne saying, oh my gosh, he's all upset. No. Some wives wake up and say, oh yeah, he's all upset. Take to the hills. Run. But it doesn't happen because it's what you do with it. And so I have to learn. I don't trust my thinking and my feelings and my wants. I've got to filter them all through the way God's word, God's works, God's ways, God's will. I filter it through and I think, yeah, what would Jesus do here? And when I do that, it grabs me, it arrests me and pulls it down. So I just want to give you three thoughts about our soul-controlled area, and then we can go and have some coffee and beat the next denominations to the restaurant. How about that? Hallelujah. So the first point is soul is selfish. Soul is selfish. Soul means self. Man, at its core, is selfish. Me, myself, and I is an unholy trinity. Do not allow it to rule and reign in your life. It's all about when you see how Satan fell, I will ascend. I will be at the most. I. If you start eyeing, I'm going to be talking to you. Because that is one way down, okay? We are born again, and we are spiritually alive. And that should dictate our leading. And as a born-again person, we will not be soul-led, but we're going to be spirit-led. Paul instructs us, instructs the Roman believers, and he talks about how we align our souls and get it so that our soul is not controlled. But it's controlled by the Spirit of God. Do you understand the Spirit in us that is born again is incorruptible? It's born of an incorruptible seed, so it has no tarnish. It is perfect. It is aligned with God and His ways and His thinking. Our spirit man, when we are born again, it is squeaky clean. It's squeaky correct. And so if we were led by it, by the prompting of our Holy Spirit, we're going to be doing the right thing. That's what we need to understand. But we have this thing called our mind that has a challenge that we've got to sort out because we have this wrestle in ourselves. And so in Romans 12:2, it says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person. Take you from a worm to a butterfly. It's that transformation. When he comes in, the spirit man comes on, and you say, is that the same person that I met last year? Look what God has done. Because the spirit man has changed the way you think, has transformed you to a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You understand? Everybody says, oh, God, you're going to cramp my style. If I'm going to go your way, man, you're going to just really, it's going to be super boring. You know? Everybody has this idea when you go to heaven, going to be on this on a cloud with a harp. And I'm thinking, Lord, that's going to be super boring, man. For eternity, I've got to do that, play on a harp on a cloud, forget that. I want to go to Galaxy 762, go and sort out demons there. I want action. And God says, you got action. Don't worry. We're going to be sorting it all out. So I want to just say that, man, he understands you. And he knows, he put those desires in your heart. And he wants to fulfill them his way for his purposes. And so it's not going to be, but it's going to take us being spirit-led to do that. And sometimes we have to get rid of some yuck within us because there's a whole lot of things. And our mind needs to be renewed. And God's word deals with that. Our mind is powerful. Do you understand? It's more powerful than any computer that's ever been designed, our mind. In there somewhere, and I haven't found it yet, everything that we've ever done in life, it's everything that we've seen, it's taken like pictures. You think the iCloud has got a lot? No, nothing like our brain. It's all stored there. Yeah, to recall it is my problem, though. But our mind is powerful. And so we understand that our renewed mind, we've had grooves cut into our thinking and our ways of thinking. And some of us got born again late in life. And so we've got lots of grooves of things and ways and habits and behaviors that have been cut in there. And so you've got to sit under the Word of God and let it flush you and work on you and cut new grooves in your life. And it's literally like trying to write left-handed when you've written right-handed all your life. It's just, but you've got to grab it because if not, you're going to be soul-controlled. Your soul is going to say, I know how to do this. And you say, no, we're not going to do it your way anymore. We're going to do it God's way now. And you're going to have this wrestle within you. And the other thing is that you need to understand that the Word of God and the one another's and the forsaking of the gathering together is important here because the one another's will also push your button and push the soul button in many areas in our lives. I'm reminded of Rolf Neighbors. He's a guy who helped a big church in Singapore with small groups and our corporate times and getting them all to, because they're so big, they had to get into small groups. And he took his newly led to Christ friend with him to the small group. And they were in there, and suddenly this guy started displaying agitation and irritation and everything else. So, Mishi, afterwards, Rolf said, yo, what happened to you? Who pushed your button? He says, second guy that spoke. His voice is just like my dad. And my dad did da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he realized that part of his soul was so deformed and damaged. And only when the get together with the one another's, you know, us one another's like sandpaper. Now, you either can resist sandpaper or you can use sandpaper to smoothen you over. And I think I needed a whole lot of smoothing over. So I'll hang around you guys and let you smooth me over. And because we're, you know, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:7 says that. So it's important that you understand that the whole process of dealing with your soul comes from the Word of God, from teaching and connecting. And because we've gone like a snowball and we've picked up all sorts of things as we've gone. We've picked up information, experiences, and heartaches, and our education has brought problems. We've had problems, stress, lust. We have some people that just live in fear. And so when God now has to get on board and start cleaning house, because your soul is so miserable, upside down, confused, deformed, he's got to get in there. You know, understand. This one guy, he said, Pastor, preach the word. Preach the word. I said, you understand the word is a two-edged sword, which I'm about to tell you now. In fact, I'll let you know right exactly now. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. Soul and spirit. Amazing. Between joint and marrow. That's your body. It exposes our innermost thoughts and our desires. Really gets in there and starts thinking, motive of heart, yeah. This word of God will find you out. And so he said, Pastor, you need to preach the word. I said, you understand it's a two-edged sword. And when that two-edged sword starts wheeling, it's going to be a lot of blood. It's going to be a lot of things that you don't want exposed. And it starts getting exposed. But you have to get clean from the inside out, because you can't put a clean diaper over another dirty diaper. Because why? Because the dirty diaper is going to seep through. Ask the moms in the house. Don't work. Us men have tried it to sneak past that move. Don't work. I'm telling you, church, this church stuff is it's messy, and a shepherd, woo man, and sheep don't like getting dealt with, and they start biting you, butting you, and running to another church. The only problem is you run to another church, you run with your problem. Good luck. God's going to corral you again. Guess what? You never fail with God. You just have to rewrite the exam. You just keep rewriting it. He loves you so much, he wants the crud out of you. He doesn't want that soul, the yuck soul that's been equipped by this world and by the teachings and the philosophies of this world. He doesn't want it to taunt and tarnish your future and your destination and your purpose. He wants you to blossom and like you as any parents want. They want their child to succeed. And John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Lord, you've got to hurry up. Hallelujah. Part two, point two. Number two, finishing strong. Soul is selfish. Secondly, soul must submit to the spirit. This is an internal battle that will rage on and not wane until the mind is renewed. I tell you what, it's something that I started when I was 18 years old. I started to learn. And I went into a spirit-filled church, and he started teaching me straight away that you have a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in this earth suit. And I started working on it. I had to speak to my mind. And 14, I got born again when I was 18. Just imagine those that have got born again when they're 50. You got to work at it harder than ever before. I've also submitted myself to the Word of God. I've submitted myself to the giftings in the body of Christ. I've submitted myself to teachers, to pastors, apostles, to evangelists. I've submitted myself to prophets. I've submitted myself so I can deal with my soul. I can deal with my soul. I've submitted it so. Because I tell you one, church, every one of us have blind spots. The blind spots, even in your eye, if you run your eye to your finger to a certain point here, you'll see you can't see it anymore. Because there's a blind spot, that's where the optic nerve goes. That's where it comes in. There's no part of the eyesight in the eyeball. So you must have learned that. I'm just teaching you what you already know. But we all have blind spots. The Word of God will reveal your blind spot. The one another's will reveal your blind spot. Because I don't want you to think that you're somewhere when you're not. I don't want to think I'm somewhere where I'm not. I want to think soberly about myself and say, realize, Rod, you have issues here. You need to deal with it. Why? Because I want to be the best person I can be for Jesus wherever I am. And so I need to deal with it. So we all have blind spots. James 1:21 says, so get rid of all filthy and evil in your lives. and humbly accept the word of God. The word of God, the word God has planted in your heart, for it has a powerful to save your soul. The word of God is powerful. That's why it says the word of God is two-edged, but it's powerful. And so we need to understand that. And so you've heard the saying, you are what you eat. You also are what you hear and read. Understand that? And especially, man, nowadays, everybody's consumed by what they hear. And it affects your behavior and your believing. It affects your believing, and then your behavior follows. And we need to make sure that we understand that. David understood this because in Psalm 42 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within you? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He understood, man. He would speak to his soul. He says, soul, what is wrong with you? Why are you so miserable? I know I've been stuck in this cave hiding from Saul, and Saul is trying to top my head off. But why are you disgruntled? You're a child of the Most High God. Even if I die or win, what's wrong with you? Shake a leg and come alive. Come on, soul. You speak to your soul. You can't, and so you go down the what if this happens? What if COVID this? And what if the finances this? And go down the what if. Forget that. Read the what about the God of the universe. Read about him. And that'll sort out your soul. Sort out that whinging and the whine. Thoughts will come and go. Don't let them nest there. It's like a bird. He can land on your head. Just don't let him nest there. It's like thoughts. Don't let it nest there. And I've said many times, I'm driving down the road and suddenly I said, no. Valerie, get a fright of her life. I said, what the heck is that? I said, no, just a thought came. And I said, no, I'm not going to buy that one. I've got to be aggressive. Guys, I've been doing this 44 years. I understand the issues. It's a fight, man. It's a swim upstream. It's a swim upstream. Probably Psalm 131, 2 says, I have calmed and quietened myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. You get that soul to say, hey, shut up, soul. Be quiet. I have had enough of your whinging and your whining. My God says this. It is written, and I stay there because that's what I have to do. I tell you what, Paul wrestled with this because as soon as he left the church in Corinth, then he says, dear brothers and sisters, this is in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to a spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belong to the world, to this world, and as though you were infant in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? We're talking about that ugly part of your soul that still wants to dominate. Why you are such a miserable thing. Got to wake up and realize, soul, you're not in charge anymore. You've been dethroned. My spirit man is alive and well. He's connected with God. We're going the spirit's way. Hebrews 5:12 says, you have been believers so long now, you ought to have been teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things of God. Church, you need to get to a church that gets somebody that preaches the word of God. Don't put yourself with leadership that preach their opinion. It doesn't help you one little bit. Get the word of God from the pulpit. That's what you need. The word of God is what will change you. And the word of God and accountability to people will make sure that you deal with that soulish area. And lastly, your soul must die. Third point, your soul must die. Take inventory of your soul and that area that's in control. Take inventory of it. Your soul has an appetite. There's certain appetites that are ruining you. There's certain social media appetites, gaming appetites, news appetites. Do I go on with the different appetites? They are not doing you any good because it's enhancing the fear, all the stuff that this debauched world is throwing at you. It is consuming you. Get some good news in you. Get some good news in you. And so take an inventory of yourself, your will and your emotions. Your will is a powerful thing. You know your will can say no to God. And God says, fine. That's why he made us with free wills. He didn't make us robots. He gave us free wills. That free will better come in check, because you're going to go down a road that you really don't want to go down. And so we understand when the scripture says that we need to take up our cross and follow him. It's talking about that area of our lives that we need to deal with every day. We need to deal with it. Matthew 16:24 says, if any of you want to be my followers, you must give up your own ways. Take up your cross and follow me. Luke 9:23 says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. There's certain things, my passions and my desires and my soul wants to do, and I've got to say to it, no, no, no. Not this side of eternity. Forget that. You're not going to have that. And you've got to put boundaries in yourself. Church, you've got to make a decision before you have to decide. You understand that? Single girls, you don't want to be in the back seat of a car when you finally have to make a decision. Is this a good place to be? You got to make a decision. You got to decide before you make a decision. So when you come to that point, I've already made a decision. It's no. I'm going to say, church, I'm going to have to live this word, because I don't know what the enemy's going to throw at me, but he's going to make sure my soul is not in control and I'm going to have to live it. So we need to take stock of our lives. We as a church have been going through, reading through the Bible for a year, and we're on day 122. Amen. Barry, we're on day 122. All about the children of Israel wanting to have a king. And it's all and fine and dandy reading the scriptures. But do you allow the scriptures to read you? So when you've done our reading for the day, are we turning around saying, God, okay, what are you saying to me? What are today's reading about children of Israel not wanting God to be their king anymore? They wanted their own king. Am I looking at my life and saying, God, am I king of my own life? Or am I looking at somebody else being king in my life? I personalize it. I have to personalize it, because it takes your soul and brings it to check. So church, as we want to go and finish strong in our lives, I'm telling you about something that you need to deal with. And nobody else can deal with this. I can present truth to you. I can preach to you and tell you all about your soul. But if you don't take control by your spirit of your soul, it's going to give you a rough time. It's going to challenge you. It's going to work over you, your case. And so it's important. Why do I go to Barry's Bible study on Wednesday night? Man, I've been at this for 44 years. I've gone through Genesis a few times. Why am I sitting on that chair Wednesday night? Because I haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived. And if you just want to flirt with this Christianity thing, good luck. Because I tell you, you're going to need it. You need to get serious about walking with the King in the kingdom. If you want things to change in your surroundings and the next generation and this nation and all the things that need to change, we've got to get serious. We can't just float around and think, come see, come saw, everything will work out for the good. No, no. God is co-laboring with us to bring the kingdom to this earth. And thus I end my message. Hallelujah. 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 Now, land like Barry lands. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you. I don't know if that's going to come through, but I just want to spend a moment in time and pray. Hallelujah. I'd like you to ask Holy Spirit, what does this message mean to me? Really, I really would like you to ask that. Because I've been mowing over this thing for 2 weeks. And I'm a shepherd that loves you. But I won't love you if I don't tell you the truth. And so I really want you to ask Holy Spirit, what do I need to adjust? I want you to take inventory of your life and say, what am I doing? Where's my soul in this? What areas do my soul need polishing up and dealing with? What areas in my soul? Some of us may not even have our spirit born again. So you have no recourse to have somebody back you up when you decide that your soul is out of control, that you have your spirit will rise up. And that's why the Bible talks about being born again. It requires us to be born again. It requires us to invite Jesus and say, Jesus, I can't do this. Please come and take the wheel. Jesus, would you come into my life? Yeah, I did it 44 years ago. He's been that voice inside me. He's been that prompting. He's been my guide. He's been the lover of my soul. He wants my soul to be well and be whole. And he's worked with me and he's guided me and he's loved me. And that's what happens when he comes on board. But it comes by invitation. He just doesn't come in. Like I just don't walk into your house and start arranging your furniture unless you invite me to come and help you. And that's what you do when you do with Jesus. You invite him and say, Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you help me arrange my life so I can get it in order, so I can synchronize and synergize with you, that I may be the person you've called me to be? If that's you, where's the church you're going to pray out loud and invite Jesus? Do that. Invite Jesus. Those that are watching us live stream, invite Jesus into your life. You cannot do this without Jesus on board. Your soul will control you, but you need to be spirit-led. You need the spirit on board. So let's pray with me. Church, would you help me and pray out loud? Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that you died on that cross for me. Today I invite you into my life. Thank you that you renew my spirit, that I'm born again. Thank you for forgiving my sins. I receive you as Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you did that and it's your first time that you did that, just grab a Connect card and say, hey, Rod, I prayed today, invited Jesus in my life. Just drop it at the Connect box in the Connect corner. I really would like to connect with you. But back to us, those that have responded, I know I am working my soul. My soul is always wanting to get off the altar and live again. Sometimes I have the old man want to jump up and live again. And I've got to crucify that sucker and put him back on the altar and say, no, stay, heal, stay, stay. And you've got to be ruthless. I'm telling you, it's a very real thing. If you understand that you are a spirit, that you have a soul and you live in a body, that you understand, you can talk to these things and say, Spirit man, lead me. By your Holy Spirit, lead me and watch him. Watch him lead you in prayer. Watch him lead you in the decisions. Because your soul will think, oh. Anyway, my wife says amen. Father, we thank you. I thank you that as we go and leave this building, that Father, we go knowing that you lead us beside still waters into pastures green. Father, we thank you that you are our great shepherd. Thank you that you are working with our soul. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Great week. Great week. Praise the Lord. Is it just normal coffee? Because we've got to run to a wedding. God bless you. Do not run out the building because church ain't over.